Our next speaker is Brother Jens Copeland, and he has chosen a subject which I'm sure will be of great interest to us all. It is something which is very vital to us all. The subject is the door to the high calling shut? Brother Copeland.
I bring you the love and greeting, friends, from my home class, the Dawn Bible Students of St. Petersburg, Florida. I'm going to read the account of two parables on which this discourse is based. The first one is the so-called marriage supper parable. I'm going to read from Matthew, the 22nd chapter, beginning verse 2 and on. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and treated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then said he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The next parable is the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, as we find recorded in the 25th chapter of Matthew, beginning with the first verse. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold the bridegroom, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for we our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest it be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. These two parables, of course, have their fulfillment at the present time, the end of the gospel age, or in other words, in the harvest time. And there's one of them, we find that the church is represented as guests at the wedding. In the other, the church is represented as virgins going out to meet the bridegroom. In this one, some of the virgins met the bridegroom, and went in with him to the wedding, and the others were left out. In this parable, we have the statement that after the wise virgins had gone in, the door was shut. The time of shutting this door and what is meant by this door has been discussed by the Lord's people a great deal, even long before Brother Russell's death. And now in the latter days of the harvest, this question is going the rounds amongst the Lord's people also. Is the door shut? Some say yes, it is shut. Some friends spend much valuable time and energy trying to figure it out, just when it was shut or will be shut. Let us turn to the record of the marriage feast, the first one I read. This record shows that there were one invitation sent out, and that those that received this invitation accepted it. But then when the call came that everything was ready, they had all kinds of excuses. There were three calls to come. The first call was given by Jesus during his 3.5 years ministry. The nation of Israel, as a people, represented by the rulers, refused to come to the wedding supper. As a result, the nation was rejected there and then. But after Jesus' resurrection from the dead, he sent out a second call when he told his disciples to go out and preach the kingdom of heaven and begin at Jerusalem. The third call was when Peter preached the gospel to Cornelius, the first Gentile to be accepted into and as members of the body of Christ. This call has been going out all during this gospel age. And the parable shows that this third call brought in the required numbers for the seat at the table. But it says also that they were both bad and good that they brought in. Both parables, as I said before, the parable of the wedding supper and the parable about the 10 virgins, have their fulfillment in the harvest period of this gospel age. That indicates that it is of importance to us to understand and to know. The parable shows further that it was after the wedding had been furnished with the proper number of guests that the king came in and began the inspection of the guests. This is in full harmony with the antitype, what we have previously learned respecting Jesus' second advent, that while he came in 1874, in the year 1878, he came as a king and then began to inspect the guests that were ready to go into the wedding supper. This has been going on ever since, the inspections of the guests. The guests, of course, we understand, I think all of us, are the consecrated, the spirit-begotten members of the true church. The test in the parable was the wearing of the wedding garment. The one that was cast out did not have on the wedding garment that was provided. In 1878 and onward, it was that the various no-ransom doctrines began to flourish. The parable further states that the full number of the guests was in the house of the host. Brother Russell speaks of this as an antechamber. where the guests were getting themselves, so to speak, spruced up before they went into the actual supper. And he says that this represents the condition we, the living members of the church, find ourselves in now, the spirit-begotten condition. But please mark this, that nowhere in this parable is there any mention of a door, either open or closed. That door is not mentioned even. Now the guests at this wedding supper and the wise virgins, not all the virgins, but the guests at this wedding supper and the wise virgins of the other parable is the same class of consecrated, spirit-begotten believers who thus far have shown themselves as faithful and obedient to the Lord's commands. One point to remember here is that this parable shows the character and the testing of the church class as individuals, not as a group, but as individuals. The real main lesson of this parable is the test of appreciation of the robe of Christ's righteousness, the wedding garment, or in other words, the ransom merit provided by our Lord for us. Now let us consider the parable of the 10 virgins. Here for the first time we read about the door, and that later this door was shut, which means, of course, that previous to that time, it had been opened. Brother Russell, in writing about this parable, says, in the third volume, page 206, this, an open door symbolizes an opportunity of entrance to certain conditions and privileges. A shut door represents the termination of such privileges and opportunities. The privilege and invitation or opportunity of running for the prize of the high calling is the door by which we enter into the grace wherein we now stand. This is the end of Brother Russell's quotation. Now, this door, as I said before, has stood open all during the gospel age up to this time and still is open. But it will sometime be shut. And this door that we speak of is the door spoken of in the parables of the 10 virgins. The wise virgins have been going into the marriage feast since 1878. And are still entering in. The door will not be shut until the last member of the body of Christ has passed beyond the veil. But then it will be closed, and it will never, never open again. It will never open again for anyone. This shut door has nothing to do with the people in the world. This door was never open to anyone but the consecrated ones. It is only after we have consecrated our all to the Lord that the door is open for us. It is only then we have the invitation, the privilege of entering the antechamber, or the condition of getting ourselves ready for the feast. Now let us consider this door, the privilege or opportunity which will soon close. Jesus called it a gate and said it would be both difficult to find and to enter. He admonished us to make great efforts to enter if we would share the immortality and kingdom honors to which it and no other door leads. He says, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house hath risen up and shut the door. I want you especially to remember that statement of Jesus, that when the master of the house had risen up and shut the door, then it will be shut. It has been suggested that there are two doors implied in the parable of the wedding supper. But I don't find any door mentioned, not one door, leave much less two doors, as they say. The guests were in the house when the supper was to be, where the supper was to be served. The record is plain that if they faithfully kept themselves covered with the wedding garment, they would be seated at the supper table. That was the only condition, that they had the wedding garment on. It has been suggested also that since there is the first and the second veil in the tabernacle picture, this would indicate two doors. And I say, no, I do not agree with that. The tabernacle, while it is divided in two rooms, is one building. And the entrance to the spirit nature is at the first veil. That is the door where we accept the privilege, the opportunity to run for the prize of the high calling. I don't believe that we have any right to read into a scripture something of which we have no proof. Again, I quote from volume 3, page 207. Brother Russell here again makes it quite plain what he understood the door to be. He says, the privilege of suffering with Christ and in his cause, after first recognizing him as our Redeemer, is therefore the door and the only door of opportunity by which the glory to follow as the bride and joint heirs of Christ can be reached. There is no way that I see of mistaking Brother Russell's plain language here. He knew of only one door to the high calling. And going through this door, we start on our journey for the supper table. Now, I think we have established that there is only one door. We come now to our real subject matter. Is this door shut or is it still open? I've already indicated that it is still open. I answer definitely no, it is not shut yet. In 1878, there was, according to Bible chronology, 144,000 seats at the supper table. Some were actually occupied, and others were reserved for those yet on this side of the veil. At the same point as that the crowns are reserved and laid aside for some individual, if they prove faithful, they will get it at the end of the race. As certain ones discard the wedding garment on this side of the veil, fail to any longer recognize the ransom sacrifice, they are ousted, and waiting ones admitted to take their seat. This is fully in harmony with what we know, what we see going on us all the time. New ones coming in. It means that others have gone out or been thrown out because of their unfaithfulness. But how can I be so sure that this door is not yet shut? Well, there are several good reasons. In Matthew, the 23rd chapter, verses 8 and verse 10, we read that one is your master, even Christ. I want you to get that point. One is your master, even Christ. And in Luke 13:25, I read to you a few minutes ago, that that time will come when the master of the house will rise up and shut the door. In Revelation 3:7, we read that Jesus confirms this. He said that he had the key and was the one who opened it, and no man shut it, and that he was the one that shut it and no man opened it. This proves conclusively that the master of the house is the one that shuts the door when the time comes. No man is going to do it. Any human being who claims to know that the door is shut today is telling, and that's about as mildly as I can put it, an untruth. He is telling an untruth, whether he knows it or not. Maybe he doesn't know. He may be ignorant enough not to know. But if they do tell it, they tell an untruth. Those that are spirit begotten, new creatures, and claim that the door is shut today, voluntarily proclaiming themselves foolish. They might just as well hang a sign on themselves, "I'm a fool," because they claim to be part of the foolish virgin class. I know that this is strong language, but it's in harmony with the scriptures. I also believe this, friends, that when the scripture says that God made that faithful and wise servant ruler over all his goods, that we can depend on the things that he suggested to us as being the nearest to the truth as possible to be. So I say again that the door to the high calling is not shut, because we read in Romans 11:25-26, blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. That is, until the full number of Gentiles have come into the body of Christ. And so, that is, then all Israel shall be saved from their blindness. Israel is still blind to Jesus as their Messiah. and they will retain that blindness until the last member of the body of Christ is beyond the veil. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given to the church by the outward sign of tongues of fire. This was the outward sign together with the abilities of speaking unknown tongues. When Peter later was sent to Cornelius to preach the message to the first Gentile, and he explained to Cornelius and his house the terms of discipleship, we have the record in Acts 10:44-46. While Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on them which heard, and they also spoke in foreign tongues. Later, when Peter reported this to the brethren at Jerusalem, what had happened, and all of them, when they heard the explanation, agreed with Paul that he was correct, with Peter that he was correct. We have similar proofs today that those who consecrate and receive spirit beginning today, we can see with our own eyes and hear with our own ears how these grasp the deep truth, how their lives change, and the development and fruitage of the Holy Spirit begins. They truly love the brethren, and hence have passed from death unto life, as stated in 1 John 3rd chapter 14th verse. We have also Jesus' words in Matthew 7:16, by their fruit shall you know them. And when we see in these that come in today, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, love, and so on, the fruits of the Spirit, we are sure that they are Spirit begotten, that the door is not yet shut. There are at least three good reasons by which we may know when the door is shut. The first one is, if we can find a definite statement in the Bible that says that the door will be shut on a certain day, in a certain month, in a certain year, then we know definitely when that time comes, it will be shut. But we also know there is no such statement in the Bible. Then we can know that the door is shut when there is such a reversal of public sentiment with reference to the truth that zeal in its service would no longer meet with opposition, and hence it would be impossible to suffer for righteousness' sake, you see. And thirdly, when such a condition exists in the world that all opportunity to witness to the truth would be absolutely stopped. In other words, when no man can work, although he wants to work, then you may know that the door is shut. But above all things, remember that Jesus said that no man would open the door, no man would shut the door. And there are two organizations that claim to be Bible students that go by the word of a man that the door is shut. They're absolutely unscriptural in their statements. They have no basis whatsoever, because it's contrary to everything we find in the Scriptures. The door is not shut until the Lord stops it completely, and then we will know, because we will be on the other side.
Thank you, Brother Copeland. I'm sure that we have been fortified against any thought of thinking that the door is closed. Now we will go into the service of the foreign report. We'll ask that we rise, and Brother Copeland will dismiss this service and ask the blessing upon the foreign report. Let us all rise.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we gratefully bow before Thee, because we are grateful that they learn to know thee, understand thy wonderful truth and plan, and that I made it so simple and so plain and so positive that we can accept it, and our faith is built on something that is a good foundation. Now, Father, we thank thee for this truth we have, and at this time we again ask that thy blessing may be upon the service that shall follow, that whatever is said and done may be such as shall be honor and glory to thee and for the good of thy children represented here. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.